What about it, punk? Do you bleed orange and blue?
War Eagle!
War Eagle, War Eagle, War Eagle.
Hang on. You are about to enter the AU Fans Podcast with your favorite AU commentators, Vic Herron and Stan Stevens.
Prepare to be entertained and informed. Your life might even change.
And now, your studio host, Keith Maxwell.
All right, guys, we're back. We're a little later. We're on a Monday morning. But it's a holiday, so school's out, and I guess NASA's off, and all of that. Not just up there dealing with it by themselves, I guess, Stan. So, but anyway, we'll talk a little bit about the game and last week's game, maybe a lot. We want to certainly start off with maybe the most important thing we'll talk about today is Stan's crow eating. So anyway, we're sad there. So, you know, we had a loss, but maybe we can take some things away from it, guys. What do you think, Stan? Get us started. Let go ahead and take your medicine. I know you've probably been taking it all weekend already, but let's go ahead and take it away.
Well, I have, and as I was telling Vic off air, you know, if you're gonna talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. So I had several guys that, you know, some of my Alabama buddies reminded me, and I told them, I said, well, you're right. If you can't go 1-0, you certainly can't go 14-0, and should have listened to Vic. Of course, that's probably not the first time and won't be the last. But, yeah, I mean, there were some things. Certainly the game was within our reach to win. And I had actually said all along, if you want to go back and listen to tape, that, you know, obviously that was my belief that we could go undefeated. It really did start with Clemson more than just winning the game. But we would learn a lot about where how much we had improved, how much Brian Van Gorder and Scott Leffler and, you know, how much they had left their imprint early on the team. And, I'm still really encouraged. I think Clemson was one of the better teams. I hope they are or will be one of the better teams we play all year. But, anyway, so, yeah, if you're going to get out there, you're going to – and, I mean, obviously, it's a good thing I have a day job. They're not lining up to take me out to Las Vegas to set the betting lines, Vic. That's for sure.
No, that is very true, Stan. And, you know, obviously, you know, we bleed orange and blue, and we think we're going to win every game. And I have to admit, going into this game, I thought we were going to win it, you know, just based on our predictions last week. And the reality of it all is the concerns that, you know, that I'd been voicing on the program sort of proved accurate, you know. And this is one of those years, Stan, where certainly we would have been well served to have started off with a North Texas or somebody like that, you know, where we could have got one under our belt and worked out some of the kinks, because I do think that there were some good things that we saw and we could have learned a lot of these lessons in a win, just like we learning them in a loss. You know, and they may take a little bit more impact since we lost the game, but same time, all these young guys would have got one under their belt and we could be sitting here 1-0 and knowing we got to improve. But at the same time, we wouldn't have lost the game already. But, yeah, it's tough to, you know, lose this first one. And, you know, with SEC, we don't like losing a non-conference game to anybody, especially the ACC. But it's just one of those things where really across the board, you know, you can point the finger at the defense. You can point the finger at the offense. You know, and, of course, so many times the quarterback gets the blame when things don't go well. But, you know, really it was sort of just a overall team effort of – some opportunities missed, I would say.
Well, that's right. And one place, again, where you were prophetic, the one place where we shine was special teams. I don't know that we've had a better Clark, you know, when he did punt, when, you know, they were sky high, no returns. And obviously Parkey, what can you say? That was an All-American start to his this year for him. So the special teams really were special. You know, offensively and defensively, there was some encouraging signs. I mean, early on, I mean, Lemonnier and Ford were getting some pressure. You know, it came down to me to some really kind of some big plays, just to overview it. I mean, Trey Mason's first fumble when we'd gotten the ball at the half-yard line and moved it to about the 47 or 8 of Clemson on that run where he fumbles. I mean, Jay Prosh and that guy, Vic, he is everything they said he was going to be, at least what
I saw. I'm glad you brought up that fumble, Stan, because I really think that one play there might have been the biggest play of the game, because we were smashing them right then, buddy.
Right.
I mean, we, you know, they were respecting the pass because we had just burned them on the long pass, you know, so we had them safeties back just a little bit probably, and we were just smashing their front seven. I really think if he don't fumble that ball there, we've got them going backwards, you know, and that was going to be big if we could have marched that one on down. Now, obviously, we had some red zone issues, you know, that, you know, we needed to get worked out. But I think right then we had a lot of momentum, and that was a huge momentum turn.
Well, it was. And, I mean, you know, if you go down there and stick it in there, and at that point, you know, we're doing okay in the red zone. I mean, you know.
Right, exactly.
Colin made the big throw to Emory. But you go down there and make it 14-3, and the game really does completely change the whole tone of it. I mean, we had just held them, and you get the defense back out on the field again, and so there was a few, like I say, I think just a few plays in that game that kind of didn't go our way, or we created that really, you know, made a big difference. They had the close call where, you know, Boyd fumbled. And
That wasn't close. That's the worst overturn I've ever seen in football.
Well, I agree with you. The fact that they had called it a fumble on the field is what made it. And rarely do you, you know, Todd Blackledge the other guy, the announcer, they even usually you won't see them guys kind of go on about saying, well, we'll just have to disagree with it. But yeah, that was another tough play. So we had a few in there like that that were really big, and which is always going to be the case probably in a 7-point game.
Well, that's true, but the thing about it is, like, you know, I try to be open-minded about these kind of things when I'm, you know, and not just saying, well, I'm a big Auburn fan, so, you know, I'm just going to see it through my orange and blue glasses and all. But that was a horrible call there. It don't matter who you were pulling for or whatever, you had to acknowledge that was a horrible call. And I'm telling you, another horrible call was on that spot, on that play where Clemson wound up going for it late in the game and converting the first down on a comeback pass. They gave that guy like 2 yards extra. I mean, I was a little frustrated with Coach Chittick there for not challenging that spot. But
I mean, that was big. And I don't know if they just didn't, you know, I mean, obviously being on that sideline during when all that's going on, but you got to have somebody saying, look, I mean, that's way, we're not talking about a foot.
No, and you know, and even if it was just 1 yard difference, you know, they're not going for that right there.
Right.
You know, they're gonna either try the long field goal or whatever they're gonna do there. You know, but you know, there were just a few plays there like that just really could have made a difference in the game. And like you said, we had the lead in the fourth quarter. I mean, so it's not like it's all bad, to be honest with you. Now, obviously, you know, me and you both, we really been hyping up Van Gorder and our defense. But now, to be honest with you, our defense didn't get it done. You know, I think it was 524 yards Clemson had, but the reality, Stan, is it should have been a lot more. They dropped passes. They had some bad penalties on some big plays. I mean, you know, we didn't do a very good job of stopping those guys.
Not being able, well, you're right, Vic, not being able to get off the field again seemed to be a problem.
Right.
Now, we did give up about 100 and plus yards less than last year, and they didn't score as much. Our red zone defense, you'd have to, you know, we got to be encouraged by that. They had to kick some field goals where last year, you know, what they hung, whatever it was, 38 on us or whatever it was. But
right.
And then early on, I mean, I thought the guy, I mean, I think if they stay healthy, Lemonnier and Ford off the corner, and there were some, again, I'm probably say less about officiating than anybody. I mean, I just think you just got to kind of live with it unless you think the guys are actually on the take, which I don't. So, but I mean, you know, I thought I saw a few holding, you know, call, but they don't call that much anymore. But again, the up front, I was probably a little more disappointed maybe at the defensive tackle position in terms of
it
seemed like they were running, you know, they were kind of getting some push there late. And I'm sure after, you know, what they end up running, like 80, I think
84 plays, 87, maybe
87,
87, I believe it was.
So, I mean, that was right there again. But I still, and I think you'd agree, I mean, I still feel good about where Coach Van Gorder's going to go with this thing. He even had said that it was a little, I mean, this was the first time he'd kind of faced, you know, I mean, because I guess the hurry-up, no-huddle thing has not been around. Obviously, hadn't been in the NFL.
Right.
And that's where he'd been the last several years. So, you know, I mean, I think he's going to be – he'll even coach a better game himself the next time he faces something like that.
Well, I agree. Well, I think, too, Stan, you have to give credit to Clemson here some because, you know, we make Taj Boyd look like a blame All-American every time we play him. And but that Hopkins kid is a big-time player, and Andre Ellington, I mean, that kid was unbelievable.
That, well, that's right. I mean, Ellington, they said, could have gone almost – considered going pro last year. And again, if Jake Holland, who even by his own admission, instead of trying to, you know, body slam the guy, if he makes that tackle, I mean, think, Vic, that was a 68 whatever yard run it was.
Yeah.
He goes down right there. I mean, that changes everything.
It does.
And a game that close, I mean, that might have been the other big play. That
right.
might have been
sometimes it's just that one play, you know. I mean, who knows what happens after that if we get him down right there.
And again, now, and we're talking about a little bit about our negatives right now. You know, we both agree. Kyle could have played better. But I'm still looking, and I want to get your input. I'm looking for somebody other than Emory Blake to be open, to make some – I mean, you know, we've been hearing – and I love these guys. I love Tavon Reed and all these guys. But, you know, we read about, Denson during camp had a couple – you know, a week there where he was really just breaking loose, Coates. Quan Bray had one catch for 8 yards. But and, of course, Lutz had that big catch. But it just doesn't seem like, you know, at the wide receiver position, we've got guys that are that are giving maybe, you know, Blake some help. And
right. Well, I'm gonna take a shot at Lutzenkirchen right here, too. Now, he's a great player and possible All-American. But what the crap was he thinking when he runs at the defensive back on that seam route down the middle where he's wide open?
Well,
you know, that winds up giving us a first down at the 11-yard line. But if he just runs from that guy, makes the guy drag him down, we're probably in there at the 5, 4, 3-yard line, something like that. Do you not agree with that?
Well, I think, though, being a tight end, being a physical kind of guy, I think he was going to try to take that guy on. Maybe
that's the wrong choice in that situation. You know, it's just the wrong choice, you know. I mean,
well,
you know, if he just runs from the guy, I'm not even sure he don't score, to be honest with you. But at the worst, you know, he's down inside the 5 probably, or at least around the 5, you know, because that guy's got a little ways to come get him. And, you know,
that's
Lutzenkirchen's
right.
A big guy. He's going to track that guy, or his momentum's going to carry him on down a little bit further. And that changes that drive right there. And that would have been a huge play there if we could have got that one in instead of kicking 3 there. And then, you know, and of course, Trevon Reed stepping out of the back of the end zone when he didn't have to. Just, you know, those kinds of things. Just so many mistakes that we made that could have made a difference in the game, you know. And, you know, to be honest with you, in Coach Chizik's defense, we've done a really nice job since he's been here winning those close games.
Well, yeah. In fact, he's still undefeated on a game decided by 4 points or less. So,
right.
But and I think it was one of the first times that we've led in the fourth quarter or whatever and didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he addressed
right.
some of that. I don't know. I think you said it at the first of this broadcast about playing. If we'd have played Bowling Green, because I mean, I watched Florida slop it around against, you know, Bowling Green
right.
and Georgia against Buffalo, and we beat either of those teams, and I'm not sure Florida or Georgia beats Clemson the way they played and the way Clemson played. So, but I guess the upside to some of that is you're going to know what you got. I mean, we know
right.
now exactly. I tell you, you know, and of course, turning it real quickly to the positive. How about the offensive line? I mean, we ran for almost 200 yards.
Right.
And if Mason, again, if we go back to Trey's fumble, on that drive, we probably would have had another 40 yards worth of rushing in that drive. So I was really impressed overall with how well these freshmen offensive tackles and really everybody played. You know, not
right.
perfect, but the offensive line played, looked to me, to play some winning football.
Right. I definitely agree. And it's nice to see that athleticism out there, man. You can just tell those guys are athletes, man.
And Greg Robinson, he's the biggest guy. I'm telling you.
He's a monster.
You know, 70, he is huge.
And then next year, Avery Young will be that size, too, and athletic like that. I mean, that's something to get really excited about, too, you know. And, of course, you know, a lot of times you don't put enough emphasis on it, but – you know, how did Reese Dismukes being out of there impact the game? You know, I thought Tunde did a pretty good job holding his own and all that. But, you know, Reese Dismukes is at a different level than him. You know, do we bust one run, you know, that we didn't bust?
Well, you're
because,
right.
You know, who knows? And in a game
ran,
like that,
yeah, I mean,
you know.
You're right. We ran for almost 200 yards. You got to believe another 50, 75, maybe 100 yards was left back in Auburn.
Right.
And that's one of those things that's really hard to tell from the stat sheet because, like you say, Tunde, I mean, as far as I could tell, played really well. But, you know, would have Reese opened up even a wider hole on a couple of plays. And it doesn't, you know, with O'Mac and even Trey Mason, it doesn't look like now you got to give those guys much of a seam and they're going to be in the secondary in a hurry.
Yeah.
So.
Now, Stan, I am going to question the intelligence, I guess, of sending O'Mac up in there as many times as we did. I know he can pop through there sometimes, but, you know, he's just not going to break tackles. I mean, you know, we watched him for 4 years now. He's not a guy that's going to bounce off folks and things like that. You know, once they get a hand on him, usually he's done. You know, now if he can get through there without a hand on him, then, you know, yeah, he's dangerous. But the reality is, you know, at 170 pounds hitting it up in there, it didn't look too good to me.
But here's the thing, Vic, you know, and they had, I guess I wouldn't, that's because they had said all fall camp, he had, because he was stronger, and they were going, and he was going to run between the tackles. So I think they'd committed to that philosophy. Like you say, now going back and looking at it, maybe we use him a little different. The problem is, to me, if you're going to have him, though, in the kind of lined up behind pros or back there in that position, if the defense knows he's just going wide,
right.
Then
that's a lot easier to defend.
That's right. And you're almost going to have to bring him in a sense where he's coming in motion. And some of the things we did with him under Miles Zahn's offense with another tailback in the game with him.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I still think Trey can do it. I would have liked to see a little more out of Mike Blakely, but, you know, I know he's coming off an injury. I'd like to see maybe what Corey Grant could do on some type of speed sweep or of some sort.
Right.
But, I mean, again, I'm sure we've not seen the whole Scott Leffler offense probably anywhere close to it yet.
No, I'm sure we haven't, you know. And of course, with some of the holes that we were opening, Stan, you know, I couldn't help but think about if Michael Dyer had watched that game last night, you know, that guy's still kicking himself for blowing this opportunity that he had, you know, because,
well, yeah, I mean,
you know, Trey Mason's a good back, and he's hitting it up in there pretty good. But, you know, Mike Dyer's one of those rare guys that comes along that makes some plays that, you know, that other guys just don't make. You know, he's strong, he's quick, he's fast, he's elusive, and he was hard to tackle, you know, to be honest with you, low center of gravity.
Well, he was. He's a bowling ball with speed. I mean – yeah, I'm sure he was somewhere thinking, what did I do? Because, I mean, again, he probably plays this year and then goes to the NFL next year. He had that kind of potential. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, like you say, I always say, we got to play the guys we got. And I think we can still, if Mike Blakely can get completely healthy and Trey Mason holds on the football, I don't think the running game is going to be – with pros leading up in there, Vic, I think you could probably still gain a few yards. I mean, the guys.
Well, I'm not going down any easier than O'Mac is. I guarantee you that.
Well, you know, so but we got a lot of. I don't know the offense still, but I do. I am encouraged by this. I think Kyle Frazier showed that he did have that. He at least had that arm on occasion that Emory Blake had described. I mean, he put some zip on several passes. He's just got to get more comfortable. And that's a tough game for a kid to come in first time, play Clemson. You know, Brent Venables obviously had done some stuff with their defense.
Right.
I mean, this was not your West Virginia defense.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't, you know, but it's just, you know, a lot of times on TV, you know, you can't see the whole field. You don't know how if guys are running open down the field, you know, and
right.
You know, what he's seeing or whatever or not seeing, you know. But obviously 11 out of 27 is not going to get it done, you know. I mean, we're going to have to complete a higher percentage of passes than that, you know. So, you know, if we're going to beat the good teams in the SEC, and he'll start this Saturday because I believe Mississippi State's got a good ball club, and they'll be as athletic just about as anybody we play. And, right. you know, so you don't have to make plays. And I guess another thing, too, you know, how Taj Boyd really hurt us with his legs and picking up some key first downs and things like that. We didn't really get that out of Kyle Saturday night, you know, and that was one of the things that I was excited about that he would bring to the table. And,
well, now that's a good point. I heard several people say that there was a couple of plays that they recall where he could have probably just tucked it.
Right.
And I don't know, you know, Vic, maybe with the quarterback situation being what it is, maybe they were a little bit timid about him, you know, him sticking it up in there. But, I mean, he showed last year what he can do with his feet. And there was at least a couple probably plays, and I'm thinking of, that he could have probably tucked the ball and made first down. So, you know, I don't know how the coaches are going to handle that. If you're afraid that a guy's going to get, you know, dinged up and then maybe going to your next guy's shoulder, you know, again, that's something only, I guess, Coach Chizik and Coach Leffler and the guys know, but.
Right, I understand that, but I just don't believe you play the game afraid of that kind of thing.
Well, no,
I mean, we had Cam Newton, who was the greatest player in the history of college football, as far as I'm concerned, and you know they weren't afraid to let him run it up in there like over and over and over again. You know, now he'd get down when he had opportunities to get down, but you know that guy took a lot of hits too. You know, and you know Kyle's not a fragile guy. You know, I mean, he took a lot of hits last year and kept bouncing back up. You know, so you know how some quarterbacks, if they ever take a hit, you know, they seem to think they're dead, but Kyle's a tough guy, you know.
Well, he's 6'2", 230. I mean, you know, he's
right.
I mean, he can take. I mean, I'm sure he can take some hits, but
Saturday night, Taj Boyd, you know, I don't know exactly how good Clemson's backup quarterback is, but you know, the reality is, you know, Taj Boyd was taking some shots down, you know, getting hit down the field as he was scrambling and things like that. And you just can't play the game afraid. You got to play the game to win, and you do that at all costs. You know, if Kyle gets hurt, Kyle gets hurt, and we'll do what we can after that. But
well, that's right. You're right, because you're going to ultimately end up losing games if he doesn't play
right
away. In other words, so, you know, if he gets hurt and you go out and you maybe don't win with the backup, you're no better off if the guy who's playing is not playing up to his potential and you're still losing. So, I mean,
right.
That's a good point. Hopefully Saturday, because like you say, Mississippi State, you know, they ran through Jackson State, and I'm sure they've been probably practicing. And you know, I've heard it said that Coach Mullins had this game kind of circled as the launching, you know, the launch pad for their season. You know, you got your first SEC game. It's Auburn. You know, I'm just hoping that we can play a lot better, you know, Saturday.
Right. Well, if we don't, we'll probably be sitting here 0-2, you know, and talking about just trying to get better as the year goes on.
The rest of the way.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
I tell you what, you know, anytime you go on the road in the SEC, and I do think this might be Mississippi State's, you know, they definitely got more talent than what they've typically had, I think, you know, and they got a lot of playmakers now. You know, they got some guys that can definitely make some plays on you. So, you know, and DeAndre Hopkins really hurt us, you know, Saturday night. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit frustrated with the amount of cushion that we were giving that guy. And I know he's a speed burner and all that. But, you know, for him to be their go-to guy and to be so open so many times, you know, that's just a little bit frustrating. But and overall, Stan, you'd have to say the play of our secondary was not that good. You know, I was excited.
It was not where we thought it was going to be.
No, it right. just really wasn't, you know, and so I don't know if maybe Therese and Florence really have a chance to get back and earn some playing time, or Demetrius McNeil, you know, but, you know, our safeties, I thought the play there was a little shoddy, tackling was not that good, and again, guys were open pretty regularly. I don't know, you know, I don't know where the answer is there, or the guys just need to play better, or you know, Clemson does have a tough offense to defend, and you know, you maybe just chalk it up to that. You know, they got a big, strong quarterback that can make throws, and they got talented guys out there, and you got to respect Ellington, and it's a tough offense to defend. You know, once they get it rolling, you know, it's hard to stop, you know. And that's
well,
I'd
like to think Clemson goes on and scores about 50 a game from here on out. And
exactly.
And a little bit better about, you know, giving up 26.
Right.
But, no, you're right. I mean, all those points, I think, are valid. We And I think we will. I don't think you saw, by any stretch of imagination, the best Auburn team. I mean, again, like you said earlier again in the show, if we're playing, you know, if we start out maybe with Louisiana Monroe or somebody that at least, you know, we're more talented across the board than, and we're making these mistakes, and we see where these new safeties in a game situation maybe are a little timid here, or, you know, maybe the tackling is, you know, right. When you go live tackling like that in an actual game is, a you know, we need a – all that can be improved. You're 1-0. You're 1-0. You're going forward, and you make the corrections. You're going to do the same thing after Clemson game, but you know now you're 0-1. Maybe your confidence is taking a little bit of a hit. You're maybe not. You don't maybe have quite the swagger. Maybe you want these guys to have. So, I mean, that's why the coaches, Vic, you know, make the money they make, because I mean they're. I mean, it's an important week for them to right. rally these guys, get them up, get them focused. And, I mean, that's the first SEC game. You go 1-0 in the ACC, you'll feel a whole lot better about yourself.
Well, that's right. You go on the road and get one, you know, over at Starkville. I mean, I tell you, you'll come home, you know, and then we get a little bit of a breather, hopefully, and then get ready to play that LSU game. I mean, so if we can just get this one Saturday, you know, a lot of people will forget. You know, the bad taste that they have in their mouth right now about the Clemson game, you know, and in the grand scheme of things, you know, I know with the exception of you, I don't think anybody was predicting us to win a national championship this year, you know, so, you know, as far as the conference goes and reaching a lot of your goals, you know, that Clemson game don't mean that much, you know, as long as they use it to learn and get better and not make the same mistakes and you know, then we have opportunity to, you know, still have a special year, you know. And I think both saw enough talent out there for us to win games. You know, we could have won that game Saturday night, you know, but we're just going to have to make fewer mistakes and, you know, do a better job of executing when it's important to get it done. And I like some of Coach Chizik's comments, you know, about that, about how, you know, they definitely expect to win those close games and making the plays down the end that's going to give us a victory instead of a loss. And you know, I think our kids have always bought into that pretty good, and they're just going to have to like turn that around. It'd be nice to go over and blow Mississippi State out. Probably that's not going to happen. The reality, so you know, you go over there and get a close win, that would do a lot for our confidence, I think.
Well, yeah, and I'm, you know, I mean, I'll echo all that. I think that's it's a huge game Saturday for us. I mean, Mississippi State will be physical. I mean, they're going to be – I mean, the cowbells will be ringing. I mean, they're going to be ready. And it's going to be a big challenge for our team to get back up. But, again, the good news about all this is when you play a team like Clemson with that much talent, I know the coaches right now know exactly where, you know, where all the improvement – that's the only thing about playing a weaker opponent, Vicky. Maybe you're lulled into thinking some certain things. I mean, it was out there Saturday night exposed, the missed tackles, the busted assignments and things. I think Auburn will get those things corrected as much as you can. I mean, obviously you're playing an opponent, and they're going to continually try to expose your weaknesses, and as much as they have the ability to do it, they will. So, you know, I mean, you never get totally there, I guess, but you I think we've got enough – to go on having played a tough opponent, it's going to serve us well playing these other big games early that we have to.
Right.
I mean, you know, you do have State Saturday, and then LSU in a couple weeks, and then Arkansas after that. So from that standpoint, I'm glad we played Clemson even if we had to lose, because we needed to know where we need the improvement and where we need to get it quick. You know, looking around the SEC just a little bit again, you know, I saw Tennessee Friday night, and they really looked good, Vic. I know a lot of people didn't have that ESPNU. You could tell that Alabama coach, I guess Coach Sunsuri, their defense was really aggressive. That's probably what I was most impressed with. That and the Patterson guy, you know, that we had a, you know, I guess it was between us and Tennessee.
Right.
This guy was a playmaker. I mean,
yeah, he was.
You should have seen that guy, but.
Yeah,
but again, it was that attitude that Tennessee brought. And I'm telling you what, everybody else I saw, you know, I'm sure we all watched Vanderbilt and South Carolina. I was not impressed with either of those teams, nor was I Florida or Georgia. I mean, all those teams have got some serious work they've got to do as well.
I agree. I agree. And of course, you know, people that watched our game, you know, came away saying wasn't impressed with Auburn, you know, so, you know, that's probably the truth of it matter. Obviously, the team that impressed the most was Alabama, and,
sure.
and you know, and they're just, you know, they've got it rolling. You know, you have to just give them credit for that, you know, because that was quite a defensive performance they put on against the Michigan team.
And like even though a couple of the guys even said, though, we don't know how good Michigan is. I mean, I was only able to muster up the last part of the game to watch. You know, of course, disappointed in our game. And, some of the guys, and even some of the Alabama guys that I talked to, they weren't so sure how good Michigan is. I mean, Robinson, you know, and so. But, no, I don't think there's any question, Coach Saban and him, they just continue to keep reloading over there, and that's fine. But
why I was recruiting is such important, you know, and the defensive recruits that we're bringing in this year, you know, I'll be honest with you. I think, you know, if those guys are as good as advertised, I think you'll see a lot of those guys playing at Auburn next year. You know, I mean, I know experience is important, but I don't care how much experience you got. If you're not as talented as the other guys, then you got trouble. And, you know, I think it still comes down to talent. And, of course, you know, I think our guys will coach them hard. I know Coach Van Gorder will coach the defense hard. And the defensive class that we're bringing in is just, you know, it's insane with how much talent it has. You know, of course, they got to prove it, you know, once they get to the college level. But it starts there. You know, you better have some talented guys out there or you're going to get in trouble when you play these talented teams.
Well, yeah. I mean, it is about getting the players. I mean, if you're riding Secretariat, you can be me or you versus, you know, if you're riding Old Glue Factory, I don't care if you are Ron Turcotte, you know, the great guy.
That's right.
So, I mean, you got to have the horses. And like I say, we're getting them. And I think even guys like Chris Frost and Casanova McKenzie at some point, as they get more and more, they'll bring a little more talent to the field to what we already have there. But, you know, again, I mean, I'm encouraged. You know, a lot of the guys that I talked to that saw us play, though, they actually felt like we looked, you know, we didn't look as bad as maybe some of these other teams I'm talking about that just didn't look like they had, you know, had it all. I guess I was most surprised by South Carolina that, I mean, they had virtually no receivers. And when Connor Shaw went out, boy, they really looked bad. So, I don't know. You know, I think that we're somewhere in the middle or maybe even up higher than that talent-wise. I mean, Alabama's probably in their own league. We're going to find out a little bit about, you know, how much Muschamp and them's improved because they go to College Station Saturday.
Right. That's going to be a fun one to look to get a glimpse at and see how that one looks. You know, that's one neat thing about it. You know, once you get into the season, boy, every Saturday there's going to be some big games. It's going to have a lot of impact on things. And of course, our game with Mississippi State is, you know, it's a huge game for either one of us to have any kind of hopes at you know, having that special season or having a chance to challenge for the Western Championship. You know, it's going to be tough to lose to Mississippi State and still get to Atlanta, you know. So,
well, you're right. It's a must game, and they all are, like you say, in a sense, but this one certainly is Saturday to get Auburn back. Again, if we win over there in a tough place to play, early in the morning, where, you know, how we've played some of our morning games. I mean, there's just a lot of things to, you know, to be concerned about. If we're able to come out with a win, it will make a huge difference as you go into La Monroe the next week. And do you think that the Mad Hatter might have swallowed real hard when that North Texas guy hit Mettenberger?
That was the hit of the weekend, I believe, man. That guy smoked him.
I mean, I don't want to see anybody get hurt for anybody and that kind of stuff, but what a lick.
Man, he rocked his house, boy. I'm telling you, that was a tough. And I have to give old Mettenberger some credit, man, for withstanding that one. Shoot.
Yeah,
you know, he knocked him out a little bit, but, you know, he was back in there. So.
But that's why I'm encouraged or had been, and I was, of course, obviously hoping we'd be 1-0 and rolling in that game undefeated. But that's why Mississippi State's huge. We got to get that win, come home, keep getting better, take out a La Monroe team, and get ready for, you know, for LSU. And maybe we'll have a couple of things for Mettenberger to think about once we get to that point. But
right.
you know, I'm not ready to concede any of them. And it ain't just because I predicted it. You know, I mean, like you say, after seeing what I saw Saturday night, I'm thinking more in terms like what you're saying. You know, 8-9 kind of wins would probably be a pretty successful year, depending on who the wins are against, always.
Right.
But, you know,
well, again, you know, to get to 8 now, you're going to have to beat a couple decent teams, you know.
That's right.
I mean, that's just the truth, you know, to get to 8.
It's got to start Saturday. I mean, we've got
to start Saturday, that's right.
And if it don't, our membership, our numbers are going to be dwindling on the Vic and Stan show. Well, I guess that's, we've pretty much covered Saturday's game, and of course we've talked about Mississippi State. We haven't gone into any specifics. Of course, I don't know that you learn a lot from, you know, they beat Jackson State pretty handily,
no.
Obviously, but you would expect that. I don't know that Jackson State's much more than maybe our homegrown Alabama A&M in a sense, are they?
No, probably not. And, you know, that's one of those where, you know, you can't jump to too many conclusions by that. So I just think that that's one of those things where, in some ways, I think that's a, you know, even though, like I said, I mentioned earlier, it'd been nice to play somebody like that just to get the kinks worked out. But at the same time, it don't do a good job of preparing your kids for what they're fixing to face when Auburn rolls in to start for. And we've already been through that one time. So, you know, if we come out and win this game, you know, you may can credit the fact that we played Clemson week one to be part of the reason why, you know. So,
well, you're right. And I mean, that's right. I mean, State's going to take a little bit of – it's going to take them a little bit of time to catch up to the speed of the game that Auburn's going to be at from the opening
right.
bell. I mean, and again, having played 87 plays on defense, I mean, our defense is getting more and more experience. I don't know what Mississippi State will end up. I know they've got Russell be throwing, and they do have, like you say, I think I noticed that they've got like three returning starters at wide receiver. So
right, and those are pretty good players too. Now they got some talent out there, so they
right.
can definitely hurt us. You know, I think the key will be our defensive line's going to have to play better. You know, and we got to get those guys on the ground when we get back there. You know, there was. You know, I look back at that play, Darren Bates. You know, we blitz him, and Darren Bates has him on a third down situation and lets him go, and he completes it or runs for it. I can't even remember which one he does on that one, but that was a big play late in that game. You know, so it's just so many plays that could have been made, but that's just football. You know, you got to make them.
Well, that's right, and I think we will going forward again.
Right.
I don't as much with all due respect to Tyler Russell, I guess his name. I don't think he's going to create the same issues that Taj Boyd did. And, you know, if he does, hats off to him. But, I mean, I just think there'll be a couple of steps here and there, and the experience that our front got that'll make the difference Saturday. I mean, it'll be tough playing over there at Starkville.
Right.
I think it was Coach Dye that used to talk about as one of the toughest places to physically play. Probably if State had the kind of talent that other schools in the conference had consistently, they would really probably could create a winner over there in a big way. But so I mean, it's gonna be interesting. Again, I think we're gonna win. I guess we need to probably go ahead and make some of our predictions since I guess that's what we're doing each week. Vic, you got any ideas on what a score will be in Starkville?
Yeah, I'm going to go Auburn 27 and Mississippi State 24.
Okay, real close one.
Close one.
Oh, let me think about that 1 second. I'm gonna say we gave up 26 clean. I'm gonna say the defense is really gonna rise up. I'll give State 21. I'm gonna say 31-21 Auburn.
That would be a big win right there, you know, especially depending on how it plays out, you know, unless we scored one late or something and it was close up until that point in time or whatever. A 10-point win in Starkville, that'd be pretty sweet. I just, you know.
I'm just thinking, I'm hoping that the offense, you know, and they're always, you know, what they always say, they always ask them about you make the most improvement from game one to game two. And I'm falling back on something. I'm really hoping that, again, having played a team like Clemson, that now we've got some film and we can make some major adjustments getting ready going to Starkville on both sides of the ball.
Thoughts on if we get Dismukes back or not?
I have no idea. I don't have a guess. I'm saying he plays. And I'm basing that on what I've heard just about the kid. I got a feeling that he's been in there with Yox and he's been getting his brains kicked in, you know, as he's had coming to him. And I just got a feeling like he's probably done everything that the coaches have asked him. I mean, don't you get that sense that he would be one of those kind of kids that he knows he screwed up big time and he's going to make it right? I think so.
And just trying to read between the lines a little bit with Coach Chizik, you know, I wanted to say he never really said it's a one-game suspension or whatever, but I thought the implication may have been that if Reese did everything that he was supposed to do, that he could be back for this second game. So I'd like to see him back out there, you know, because I know he's a talented guy and, you know, he's got a lot of starts under his belt.
And that's the thing. I mean, him making the calls and his athleticism.
Right.
You know, and again – I'm just tickled to death that Tunde got to start and looked like he played as well as he did, and it's good to know we've got that kind of even depth now. And if Tunde does get to start against Mississippi State, I'm ready to roll with him. But like I say, my gut feeling is maybe Dismukes has paid his, you know, he's paid for his sins and he's back part of it. But you know, again, we'll just have to wait and see on that. They may not. Knowing Coach Chizik, you won't know till they go out there to take the first snap, maybe. But
right.
So that's, you know, I mean, again, there's going to be just a lot of – hopefully the kicking game will stay like it's, you know, like it started out. You know, I guess Kyle Frazier – I mean, if you were going to look for maybe a couple of things you really like to see improvement, what would they be for you, Vic?
Well, I think you're going there. Kyle, even though Kyle showed some good signs and he did some good things, quarterback play in football is just so key. I mean, it's just so important, you know, and I realize everybody else has to do their job and all that, but boy, it's sure harder to win when the other team's quarterback outplays your quarterback. And Kyle just needs to step up and have a better completion percentage, make some good reads and get rid of the ball. And, you know, I did think sometimes he had a tendency to hold on to it too long. Of course, I don't know what he was seeing down the field. And I know they've told him, you know, don't throw those interceptions. And the one interception he threw was, you know, not really a bad interception. So
right.
I think that's the key. And to be honest with you, it's going to be a long year if we don't get better defensive line play. You know, I mean, if you can't control the line of scrimmage on that defensive line, then some of the teams that we play in the SEC, the LSUs with the big backs and Alabama with the big back, I mean, you got no chance against those teams.
Right.
If you're getting pushed around up front, you know, Jake Holland can do all he can and, you know, he's not going to be able to slow down that run game. And if you can't slow down that run game, you just got all kinds of trouble. And to be honest with you, that happened a lot to us Saturday night. You know, we couldn't slow down Ellington, and so that just created so many other opportunities for Clemson. So, those would be probably the two areas that I would focus on. And I'd say the defensive line, because that was what I thought might be a strength of our team. It's not that
everybody
they were terrible, probably, but, you know, they need to be dominant. You know, they need to be really good for us to have the kind of defense that we want to have.
Well, I agree, and I would look for Kyle Frazier to tuck the ball and take those first downs, like you said. Not run first unless that's, you know, unless it's a called play, but to be looking. But if it's not there for you and there's some running lanes just like Cam did a couple years, you know, Kyle needs to, you know, get on the wheels, and he's got them. So that would be something. And again, I'm looking for somebody else in the passing game and the receiver to be a go-to guy, to be open, to make the catches when the ball touches their hands, you know, whoever that is, whether it's Coates or, you know, or Quan Bray or Trevon Reed, whoever. So that's something I'm going to be looking for, somebody else that's open that can take some pressure off of Emory Blake. Because, I mean, everybody knows Blake's going to get a look, and he's still making some catches. Some of these other wide receivers have just got to, figure out a way to up the game. And,
right.
But you're right, the defense, the line of scrimmage. But, again, I was real pleased with the offensive line. Now, like you say, the defensive line is the one that's been getting the hype and by most accounts, you know, with the depth and all. So
right.
We need to really start exerting, our presence up front and starting Saturday.
Right. I definitely agree. So, I guess, you know, yeah, that should about do it. You know, it's a big one. You know, obviously we don't need to start off 0-2 and 0-1 in the SEC. So, you know, huge ball game Saturday. So, just hope the guys are ready and the coaches are ready, and you know, we can get this thing turned around quick and get some good feelings about our program.
Well, you're right. And one game will make a difference. I mean, if we go out and play solid football Saturday and are able to win over there, we'll have a whole completely different outlook on what the year might be. Plus, we'll have seen what some of our brethren, again, like Florida going to Texas A&M, seeing what some of these other guys, to gauge kind of where we are in this new 14-team league. So,
right.
But anyway, so I guess that's about it, Keith, from my end, and just, you know, War Eagle, let's beat the Bulldogs.
All right, guys, it's good to talk to you guys again. Hear what you think and what's going on, and we look forward to this Saturday, and then Sunday night we can even it up 1-1, and we'll maybe we can start a 13-0 streak here, Stan, for you.
That's what I'm all about, Vic.
Well, I can't go there with you either, buddy. I'm just going to have to tell you. I don't want to put a number on what I think it's going to be yet, but give me one more to look at and see what it's going to, you know, see how I feel about it after this Saturday. But, I still think we got some work to do, and those guys are working hard, though.
Well, I may even change mine a little bit. I'm going to try to go 1-0. I'm going to start trying to be 1-0 every week. Let's go 1-0 against Mississippi State.
Well, I was going to say, Stan, I do have a little, you know, I do have a little respect for you jumping out and going ahead and making a commitment up, you know, early before you see anything, and Vic kind of laying back and waiting, and the timid never win. So, you know, I don't know. But
that's why I kind of used to handle him on the basketball courts down there when we were school together at Auburn.
That's unbelievable. Just like I was right here, he's wrong about the basketball, too. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know that the guy's ever been right about anything. But, you know, I was actually pulling for him in this one, though. I was so hoping that he was right. But as usual.
We all are. We all pulling the 13-0 streak from here out, too.
Oh, I guarantee you. And I probably won't pick us to lose any game, even though I know probably we're going to lose some more. But, you know, I go into every game thinking we're going to win it. But it's just, you know, the reality of when you're sitting there looking at, you know, the schedule that we play, that's a tough challenge, you know. So,
yeah.
But anyway, I'm disappointed like everybody else that we're not undefeated, at least up to this point. But.
I'll keep trying to learn from you, Vic. Maybe I can get there one
good
day.
Good idea, Stan. That's a good idea, buddy.
I'll keep trying.
That works yet. How long has it been now? 25 years or more?
A little thick-headed. He's a little thick-headed there, Keith.
I hear that. Okay, guys. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you guys later. Let's go ahead and sign off.